Good morning. This morning we're from John chapter 10, verses 27 and 30 in the King James Version. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one.
It's a pleasure to see everyone this morning. I hope that you had a good night last night and a good day today so far. We thank God that He delivered us from those storms yesterday. This is January, the middle of January, and we had that kind of temperatures. What is going on? I'm expecting snow in July. When we think of hand-holding, a lot of images come through our minds. We had a standing policy at Bible camp when I was helping to direct Bible camp and working with my senior boys. They were allowed to hold their little girlfriend's hand, but not really. They could carry a stick, and each of them could hold the stick. And it was okay if their hands touched, but they weren't allowed to walk through camp holding hands. They could hold a stick. That's a little different, isn't it, than the way things are today? But that's what we did. And I saw Stan Allison walking through the parking lot and holding hands. I said, y'all got a license for that? They said, yeah. Holding hands. Maybe you remember your first little girlfriend or first little boyfriend, and holding hands with them was just a big deal. And of course, you know, the first time you do that. Hey, do you think about how big your daddy's hand looked to you when you were small? And you would hold daddy's hand, and maybe you'd grab hold of just his finger. That's all you could grab. Perhaps maybe you think about holding a newborn baby and holding, looking at each perfect little hand. Picture this, if you would. An elderly couple sitting on the front porch in the swing, holding hands in the moonlight. That's commitment, folks. A nurse notices a small boy looking at his mother. She's been brought into the emergency room after a violent car accident. And going over to the child, the nurse takes the child's face into her hands to shield him from that view, that sensitivity. A construction worker is building a house, and in his hand he holds a hammer. That's strength. A preacher stands beside a young woman in tears. She is crying as the court grants the final divorce decree, and the minister pats her hand gently in his. Sympathy. A mom takes her little boy to school for the very first day, and as they approach the classroom, he reaches up and takes her hand. Security. A toddler reaches out to put his hand into an electrical outlet. Mom says, no! But he keeps on reaching, so she smacks that little hand. Correction. A father takes the hand of his daughter, places it in the hand of a young man, and gives her away. Confidence. An aging man stands at his wife's bedside. She's been faithful and dear to him for many years. They faced a lot together, and now they face death, and they'll face it together too. And he holds her hand and squeezes it gently as life draws near its end. Support. We call it theoanthropomorphism. Did you say that word this morning as you were eating your cornflakes? Theoanthropomorphism. That is taking human traits and attributing them to God. And that's what we do. We think about God from our perspective, and that's okay. But the scripture also does that. It talks about God's hands. There are nearly 100 times that the scriptures speak of the hands of God. So let me tell you, God wants us to hold tightly to His hand. And that means that we walk closely beside Him. We cling to Him. We have Him on our minds all the time. Some wonderful things happen when we hold to God's unchanging hand. God blesses those who hold His hand. Do you know that? Those who hold to the hand of God, God blesses. And there are four major blessings that I will mention this morning when someone holds to God's unchanging hand. The first one, think about the commitment that God has for you, the stand that God takes with His people. We live in a day where commitments fall apart so very easily, don't we? People let us down. And I know I often fail in my commitments. I try not to, but I fail. And I end up letting other people down. And it's so frustrating, isn't it? When you let somebody down, you don't want to do that. Or when someone lets you down, you don't want to have to experience that, but we do. And in time, we might even become jaded to the point that we sort of expect people to let us down. We even expect promises to be broken and the commitments that are made to us to be abandoned. We even get to the point of expecting that. The repairman charges us four times what the estimate said. The doctor makes us wait for 2 hours longer than our appointment called for. The mechanic takes 2 days longer to fix the car than he promised. Our boss doesn't give us that promotion that he promised, and our expectations crumble. People will let us down, but God won't. Are you listening? God will never let you down. For He Himself said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is a covenant that God has made with His people. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Deuteronomy 31. And verse 8, David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 20. The nature of God does not change. He was this way in the Old Testament. He is this way now. If he would hang in there with the children of Israel, He will do the same for you and me. He will stay by our side. Did you notice the words of the song? If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to Him cling. Hold to God's unchanging hand. God has made a commitment to you. How does that make you feel? Knowing that God has made this kind of a promise to you, that He's made this kind of a commitment, that He will never walk out on you. To know that God will be patient with you, that's a commitment that we can hold on to. Then consider the compassion that God has for His people. Think about His compassion. I'm so thankful that God has compassion for us. We fail so much. We've got a habit we're trying to break. There's a sinful habit, a questionable habit at best. And we're trying our best to break that habit. And we fail. And we fail. And we fail. We keep trying, but we keep failing. God is so compassionate to us. He never runs out of patience for people that keep trying. Did you know that? If you keep trying, God will never run out of patience with you. Sometimes those of us who preach believe that we need some sort of an emotional story to try to touch the hearts of people. But there is a story that nothing can compare with, and that's the story of the love of God. The love that God has for us. He gave his only son for us, and he continues to be compassionate toward us every single day. The Bible speaks about God's compassion. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 29 and 30, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light." He's being compassionate with us. He could make things hard, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Listen to Isaiah 42. "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." Can you see the pictures of compassion that we could paint using the life of Jesus? He touched the lepers. He lovingly spared the woman caught in adultery. He forgave the thief on the cross. He fed the hungry multitude. He brought back that widow, her son, from the dead and gave him back to his mother. And his grace reaches even me. "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more having been reconciled we shall be saved by his life." Romans 5 verses 6 through 10. I want to read this next passage to you from the New Century Version. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Titus added that God's grace that can save everyone has come. God's grace that can save everyone has come. "Indeed, every good gift is from God's compassionate hand," according to James 1 and verse 17. His compassion never ends. He's always caring. He's always helping. So hold to God's unchanging hand. Not only has God made a commitment to you and to me, not only does God extend his compassion upon us, but I want you to think about the power that God has and uses for us. When we think about holding to God's hand, we need to be aware of the strength and the power that it has. Back when we were in Bible school, we actually had a teacher teach us how to shake hands. Taught us how to shake hands. Has anybody ever taught you how to shake hands? Yeah, who likes a dead fish in your hand? Nobody. You shake hands with somebody, hello. No. Neither do we want a vice grip. You know, I don't want Mike bearing down on my hand when we shake hands. I don't need that. I don't want a vice grip. And we were even taught that when you shake a little lady's hand, you be as gentle as if it were a child. Because you don't crush a hand that's given into your hand. You just don't do that. And so, you know, shaking hands is, you may have power, you may have a strong hand, but you better be careful how you use that power. And God is always careful with us. He could break us. He could snap us like a twig. He could kick us away from himself and we would never be able to return. God has power, but he restrains that power. I want you to think about God's strength and his might. Listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter, I've lost the passage. I don't remember where I put it. I've got the passage, I can't remember where it is. It starts in verse 15.
But I just don't remember what chapter. But there's a whole bunch of chapters of Isaiah. Read the whole book. You'll find it. Behold, the nations are as a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust on the scales. Look, he lifts up the isles as a very little thing, picking up islands as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. The cedars of Lebanon were known as the greatest trees in that part of the world. And God says it's not even worth burning. Not even worth burning. Nor its beasts sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing. And they are counted by him less than nothing and worthless. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? The workman molds an image. The goldsmith overspreads it with gold, and the silversmith casts silver chains. Whoever is too impoverished for such a contribution chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeks for himself a skilled workman to prepare a carved image that will not totter. This is talking about idolatry. It's talking about making idols of gold and silver and trees that will not rot. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the heavens? From the foundations of the earth, it is he who sits above the circle of the earth. And its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. How vast is space? How vast is space? And God says he stretches it. Isaiah says God stretches it out like a tent for him to dwell in. He brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth. When he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Who brings out their host by number? He calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. No one is missing. Not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting Lord, or the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the earth, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. This is such an amazing description of the power of God. It's unrivaled. I've not found anything that can rival this in Scripture. God's ability, God's power is at our disposal as his children. Hold to such a powerful hand. You know, it was God who with a mighty hand freed the Israelites from Egyptian control. And remember the statement of Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Don't you think that God can help you with your measly little problems? Don't you think that God can take care of you during your greatest crisis? Don't you think that the God who created heaven and earth can meet your needs? Don't you believe that? You should, because he can. And if you will just submit to him, if you will hold to his unchanging hand, his power will be sufficient for you. And he will meet your needs. And he will take care of you. What an awesome strength, a strength that never ends. God's power provides for us and God's power protects us. You do not have a problem that's too big for him to help you with. God's strength will make us strong and hold us up. So, hold to God's unchanging hand. And finally, we notice the promise of God's sympathy. His sympathy. Not only is our God powerful, but he truly cares about you. He notices you. You're not an obscure nothing to him. He notices you. Don't you know that you are the one? If you were the only person on earth, Jesus would still have died for you. Did you know that? I want you to claim that. I want you to admit that. I want you to accept that. I want you to deal with that. If you were the only person on this earth, Jesus still would have died for you. That's how much God loves you. You are noticed by him, and he cares for you. No wonder Peter could say, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Jesus spoke of the hireling that runs away because he doesn't care for the sheep. And then he promised, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of my own. David sang, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Psalm 34 and verse 15. You know, we sing this song sometimes. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. I know my Savior cares. In fact, over 100 times, God's Word speaks of God hearing the cries of his people. God cares for us. He cares for us. He has a power reserved for us. He has compassion upon us. He is committed to us, to his people, that will hold to his unchanging hand. And now, it doesn't matter how rough times get. It doesn't matter if the way gets hard. It doesn't matter if we fall down over and over again. There is an endless supply of hurt for us here. But God has an outstretched hand to lift us up and to wipe away our tears. He promises that to us. Now, let me mention blessings that come to those who hold God's hand. We have some promises from God. The blessings of God, and there's so many, but they could be lumped into three categories. Three categories for these blessings: security, support, and strength or help. Security, support, and strength or help. Home security systems are selling like hotcakes. You know why? People are afraid. People are afraid. They're afraid of being burglarized. They're afraid of their home being attacked. They're afraid of any kind of violence. And so home security systems are selling all over the world. That small word fear can mess your world up, can't it? Fear. It can turn everything upside down. And it comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. There's fear of theft, fear of being alone, fear of failure, fear of death, fear of the unknown, fear of everything. Fear. But God gives us security. Listen to Isaiah 41, verse 10, beginning, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Behold, all those who were increased against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing. And those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contend with you, those who wage war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. That's security, folks. The God who created all things, the God who can destroy and will destroy all things physical one day, says, I will help you. Man, I want to hold to a hand like that. One of the blessings that comes
from God is that He will help us. He will hold us in His hand if we will hold to His hand. Security, protection. And then support. Remember the elderly man standing at his wife's bedside, dreading the moment when he has to say goodbye? Listen to the words of the song. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in the home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. God will be with us to the bitter end and beyond. When everyone else walks out, God walks in. I don't care how badly you've done, how many times you've failed, He will still be there, urging you homeward. You can count on that. God will support you. Jesus said, "Lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Matthew 28, verse 20. There's no one who will be a better supporter, no one who will be a better friend, no one who is more in your corner than the one who extends His right hand to you, who will hold you up, who will help you. Hold to God's unchanging hand. And then finally, strength or help. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, verse 1. From Hebrews 6, verse 18, 19, again from the New Century Version this time. These two things cannot change. God cannot lie when He makes a promise, and He cannot lie when He makes an oath. These things encourage us who came to God for safety. They give us strength to hold on to the hope we have been given. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, sure and strong. It enters behind the curtain in the most holy place in heaven. We all face difficult days. We all have times when we need something to hold on to. We have some tough days. Everybody's had some. This one young girl was getting married, young woman was getting married, and it was her wedding day, and her mama brought her a gift. It was a framed piece of paper with words that her daughter had written when she was just a young child. Listen to what the little girl had written. Today, now this is brought to her as a wedding gift, a framed wedding gift. Here's what she wrote. Today we had a test in history, and we did not win the paper drive. And I have to go to the dentist. This is the worst day of my life. Now that's what the little girl wrote. So Mama framed it, brought it to her on her wedding day with this small caption written beneath it. May this always be true. May that be the worst day of your life. In other words, may your life be beautiful from here on. God does not minimize the problems we make. He doesn't marginalize us. He doesn't belittle us for being concerned about the little things in life. These things are real to us. They are problems for us. And God doesn't minimize our problems or belittle us for facing them. But He assures us that in light of eternity, they will become insignificant. They will not be nearly as important as they may seem right now. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8 and verse 18. As we cross through the valleys in our life, God is there. But we have to seek His help. We have to call out to Him. We have to hold out our hand to Him. God will not force us to take His hand. He will not force us. But He reaches out. And if we will take His hand in ours, cling to Him, commit to Him, live for Him, serve Him, be faithful to Him, then we have His promise that He will be there for us. We need to pray with Nehemiah. Now restore, O God, strengthen my hands.
Nehemiah 6 and verse 8. God has not promised us a perfect life. He's not told us on this earth that we're going to have no struggles or no problems. God hasn't told us that. In fact, it's going to be the opposite. He's told us there will be struggles, there will be problems, there will be crises in your life. But He has promised a strength that will carry us through, a hand to guide us and help us through it all. Because of the blessings of security and support and strength, we have every reason to hold to God's unchanging hand. People will let you down. Take God's hand of commitment. Do you feel unloved, unwanted, or uncared for? Feel His hand of compassion. Are you weak and wonder if you're going to be able to go on? Grasp His mighty hand of strength. Do you feel sad, depressed? Know His hand of sympathy. Are you afraid? Reach for His hand of security. Does the load seem too heavy to carry? His hand will support you. This day, today, He extends a hand to you. An outstretched, nail-scarred hand for you. A hand of love. Will you take His hand? And then will you, throughout your life, hold to God's unchanging hand? Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. The choice is yours. It's entirely yours. What will you do with it? If you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come and encourage you to come if you need to, as we stand and sing.